Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Bill George is former CEO of Medtronic and the acclaimed author of Wall Street Journal's bestseller, True North. His new book, Seven Lessons for Leading in a Crisis, offers his take on leading in economic hard times. George draws from his own in-the-trenches experience, as well as lessons from other leaders who have weathered tough economic storms. Bill, welcome back to Edgewise.
I'm happy to be here today. Thank you very much.
To begin with, when you wrote the book, was your intent to simply limit it to dealing with this recession?
No, definitely not. What I've learned over the years is crisis is the real test of a leader, and I've seen many leaders who get to the top of organizations without ever facing a significant crisis. Then they panic when they find themselves in one. I was thinking about how many leaders have failed during the Great Recession we're in now. Many of them just failed to step up during a crisis. They did all the things they were doing before and, frankly, didn't face reality. And so thinking about how one faces crises, whether they are organizational upheavals or a takeover attempt or loss of your job, what do you do about it when you face all those things? And I think there are some lessons that go for people at all levels, not just people at tops of organizations, that are eternal. And I think it's not just about getting through the crisis. Too many leaders kind of hunker down like you would in a storm and hope for the storm to pass. But sometimes storms go on for a very long time and don't pass. Rather, it's to keep your head up and figure out, how can I come out ahead? How can I win? How can my organization be transformed during this crisis and be ready for the growth periods ahead?
So a crisis can be an opportunity if one is wise enough to use it as such.
You know, it's interesting. The Chinese character for crisis has two sub-characters. One is danger and one is opportunity. And I think that applies extremely well. Yes, a crisis represents huge danger. We can all fail. It also represents opportunity. I definitely did not write this book to be a history of what happened in the fall of 2008 when Lehman Brothers went bankrupt and everyone went down. There'll be lots of books on that, but not so many that are really positive and saying, what do you do about it when you get in this situation?
All right. In your book, you've identified seven lessons, and the point of it is to enable leaders to truly excel during these periods. What I'd like to do is look at those seven lessons a little more closely. For example, in lesson one, you describe facing reality starting with yourself. Now, that's an interesting one because the leader has to acknowledge their role in this crisis.
Yes. We as leaders have a responsibility, so we can't just blame other people. I've seen a lot of people externalize, say, well, it's a bad economy, my competitors are doing strange things, there's nothing I can do here. The first thing you have to do is acknowledge that you're in a crisis, and then acknowledge that you have a role in that, and you have a responsibility for seeing your organization in a crisis. Until you do that, it's very hard to get out of it, because you haven't really faced the reality.
That includes admitting that you might have made a mistake, and in doing so, you actually build teamwork and support from others.
Absolutely, and I've got a wonderful story in here about Amgen, who faced losing its hot new drug for anemia, Aranesp, which had over $4 billion in sales after a couple of years. Kevin Scherer, the CEO, found his people were very defensive, and he was too, because they'd wanted to use this to build the business and the size of the company, and they started blaming the FDA for its problems. Then Kevin pulled back and said, hey, if you were a government regulator, wouldn't you be concerned about some of the data coming in? So he got people to agree, but then he couldn't get them to move. And so finally he sat down for a whole hour one day and wrote down all the things for which he had responsibility for the company finding itself in a crisis. Then he sat down and went over these points with his key people, and they were shocked to see that the CEO was admitting his errors, and that freed them up to admit their mistakes. Yes, they lost $1 billion in sales, but they came through the crisis, and now they're doing very well. So they're getting lots of other drugs approved.
Very interesting. Bill, in lesson two, you say, don't be Atlas. Get the world off your shoulders. That doesn't mean walking away from it. It actually means sharing the responsibility for turning things around.
Absolutely. Sometimes when you feel beleaguered, you feel like I'm responsible, this whole place could fall apart. People would lose their jobs. Customers could be harmed because a product fails. Shareholders could lose all their investment. You feel that kind of weight of the world on your shoulders, but you can't get there because that just causes you to go inside yourself. I think in a crisis, you need to call upon your teammates as well as a group of outside advisors and say, I need your help. Someone who did this really well in a recent crisis was Greg Steinhoffel, the new CEO of Target, who was engaged in the proxy fight with investor William Ackman. Greg's a merchant, 29 years on those brilliant merchants in the United States. Not a lot of financial background, but he turned to his team, and they did a great job in saying, no, this is a great company. We shouldn't tear it all apart and have a new board. We got a great board. He turned to his board for help. By relying heavily on his team, he came out with a very, very successful vote, well over 70%. It was only because he was able to rely on other people.
Mm-hmm. Now, lesson three has to do with finding root causes and then implementing solutions. Can you explain?
The risk is people tell you, we got this problem solved, no problem. And they really haven't. They've just given a superficial solution. Say it's a quality problem with a product. You may think you fixed the problem, but you really have created two more problems because you haven't gone in depth to verify that that is the real source of the problem. It takes a lot of digging. And you get into this very awkward time where you know you've got a problem, but you don't know how deep it is. You don't have the solutions. You have to get to the bottom of the problem. And a lot of times people are afraid, well, what if the whole product fails? Or what if our whole business fails? So they aren't willing to dig deep and find the root cause of the problem. But it's like medicine. Until you can get to the root cause, you can't solve it. You have to verify it. And I love the military phrase, trust but verify. I trust you to tell me, but I'm going to verify that we actually have fixed it.
Now, what about recognizing that a problem isn't short-term, but could require a longer time to be solved?
You know, there's nothing worse than declaring victory over a crisis before it's over. The economists are doing that to us right now, and I'm so worried about it. 80% of the economists say the recession's over in another month. This is nonsense. We have 7 to 8 million people out of jobs. Probably the unemployment rate, if you take all the people that have stopped looking for jobs, is up around 16%. We have a real crisis in our economy, yet we haven't prepared for what it's going to take for the long haul. We've done the quick fix, the short-term stimulus kinds of things. You need to be ready for the long haul, and these things can go on a long time. Companies that don't have the resources to take it for the long term don't plan long-term solutions and recognize that they've got to make fundamental changes in their business can really get in trouble. Also, in terms of business, you need to have a strong cash position like, say, Goldman Sachs did coming into the financial crisis. One of the reasons it got through it and Lehman Brothers and Merrill Lynch couldn't.
Exactly. Now, lesson three and four go together, but I really like lesson five, which is don't waste a good crisis. Could you expand on that?
You know, we've seen the case of General Motors for years. They had lots of crises and they just kind of hunker down to get through them or put out some sales incentives and never fix a basic product line, never fix the basic cost problems they had. That's a real tragedy if you don't take advantage of a crisis to make the fundamental changes in your organization.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true.
When things are going well, it's real hard to get people to make fundamental changes. They say, well, we're doing well enough. What's the problem? When you get to a crisis, that's your opportunity. People are much more willing to change your organization in fundamental ways to prepare for the future. You can use a crisis to your benefit, as Jack Welch did at General Electric and getting the company so competitive on a global basis back in the 1980s.
And changing for the better doesn't mean criticizing those who've worked with you. It's a way of better utilizing their skills, moving in directions that might be different.
Absolutely. And I think you'll find people much more willing to come up with those positive ways when everyone agrees you're in a crisis. The crisis also represents opportunity.
Uh-huh. Now, lesson six refers to following True North. Could you tell us a little bit more about True North? And what is the danger of losing track of True North in a crisis?
Your True North is the essential character, your beliefs, your values, and your principles. And in a crisis, it's very easy to get pulled off course. When you're being criticized by the media, it's very easy to pull back, hunker down, get defensive. These days, information moves at lightning speed across the internet. What you say internally is external. What you say externally is internal. So we have to recognize you have to be transparent. And that often makes people very uncomfortable. Yet, if you are true to what you believe, you can say, look, we made some mistakes here. Here's what we're doing to correct them. And I think that level of honesty and openness gives you a lot of credibility today. That's following your true north. People that don't do that try to create a false reason. They try to look good when things are bad. They dissemble and don't tell the whole truth. Then information comes out that shows they've only been covering up the real problems. That's how you get in deep trouble. So when you're in the spotlight, that's the real test. You may have had 30 years or 30 months of good effort, but you can destroy it in 30 minutes by not being true to what you believe in and being open and, frankly, willing to be vulnerable, admitting that you made mistakes, admitting that you might have failed. then you can go fix the problem.
Right. Now, number seven, which is a kind of upbeat one, is you go on the offensive. When do you apply this solution?
This is the most important lesson of all, because when you're in a crisis, everyone else is too, as in this recession. This is an opportunity not just to pull back, but you can actually go on offense and win. You can transform your market. Look what Steve Jobs has done with the iPhone. Remarkably, he changed the entire telephony market, but he came out of a crisis where Apple was losing share in the computer business. And other people are doing this. Sam Palmisano has transformed IBM in the computer business. Indra Nooyi, instead of being on the defensive about products that have sugar and drinks and calories and food, got on the offensive and said, we're going to go after this and we're going to have healthy foods and healthy drinks. Half of our revenues are going to come for that by 2010. Well, that's just next year. So she took a real leadership role, unlike the cigarette companies who went on defense and lost the whole game. So I think this is an opportunity. It's also an opportunity to invest. Intel, historically, has always invested during a crisis, whereas companies like Motorola pulled back. And as a result, Intel came out of the crisis the winner, and Motorola was years behind. We see Ford Motor under its new leader, Alan Mulally, investing heavily in a crisis, whereas Chrysler and General Motors are pulling back. So it's the best opportunity to shape the markets to your advantage, to shed your weaknesses, and play to your strengths in the marketplace.
Yeah. In your concluding chapter of the book, you talk about how crises can be a defining moment.
Absolutely.
It can be a defining moment for an executive as a leader, and it can also be a defining moment for a company that is at a certain stage in its development.
It can change the entire company. Intel went through a change where it had to give up computer memory chip business, and that allowed it to build its microprocessor business, and now it's a $60 billion company, global leader in its field. But as individuals, this could be your defining moment. My defining moment came when I realized how unhappy I was, and I was drifting away from my true north when I was at Honeywell, and that wasn't the right place for me. I got with Medtronic, and it changed my entire career, and I dare say my life. So these things can happen. But it requires you to recognize, what am I all about? This is my opportunity. I can use this crisis to make a huge difference in the world. Leaders that do that really feel that fulfillment of leadership.
Bill, can you think back to where you might have faced a crisis at Medtronic, where these seven lessons played a role?
I certainly can. Throughout my career at Medtronic, we had to face reality that we had product quality problems. I had to not try to take these things on my own shoulders, but to use my team. Many, many times those problems, we had to dig very deep for the root cause and get ready for the long haul, because sometimes competitors would come out products ahead of us, and we had to really prepare to win for the long term. We turned these crises into opportunities to be not just a global leader in pacemakers and defibrillators, but in all medical technology. We're willing to do it by focusing on how we can make a difference in the lives of patients.
Back when we were talking about the seven lessons, you were talking about the danger of assuming that the problem is over. The federal government suddenly announces we can declare the recession is over, and yet the numbers of unemployed are scandalous. But if you're the head of a company, how do you deal with that transition period of moving employees from thinking about the recession to thinking about an upbeat economy, while also addressing some of the problems that the recession has left you with?
You need to get all your team on board. And even if you have to go through cutbacks and layoffs, it's better to do them humanely and quickly, and then say to the team, okay, now we're where we need to be. We need everyone on board. Here's the new set of objectives, and let's go. We're going to win as a result of this. Now we're a strong, highly competitive company in the marketplace. Here are the elements that are going to enable us through our strategy to win and build that enthusiasm, because it's easy to get down during a crisis. If you can get upbeat and get your people upbeat, you're going to be the winner. And I just encourage everyone listening to say, look, figure out how I can become the winner as a result of this crisis, even if I have to make significant changes. That's what really matters.
And I'd like to think that the best senior executives are those who lead by example.
Absolutely. You've got to do it yourself. If there are going to be any cutbacks in compensation, if bonuses are cut back, anything like that, they should start at the top. Certainly anything like perks. I know at Medtronic we had a crisis 15 years ago and we eliminated all the perks, company cars, parking places, and all that stuff. And as a result, we won. People see that. Is the executive in for it? That's what really counts.
The title of the book is Seven Lessons for Leading in a Crisis, and the author is Bill George. Thanks for being with us, Bill.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.